Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The greatest Christmas movie of all time is hands down It's a Wonderful Life. If anyone disagrees, you're free to be wrong, but that's not correct. It's just so good. The pitch meeting for that movie, I couldn't imagine what it would be like, because do they go on an adventure? No. They stay in little Bedford Falls, middle of nowhere. Does he have a rough family life or drama? No, he has a wonderful family. George Bailey just lives in the middle of nowhere, works a job his family's had forever that's not enjoyable. He doesn't get to go on adventures. He has a lovely family, has some drama with some people in town, but at face value, it seems boring. And yet, it's the great, one of the best movies ever, and the greatest Christmas movie ever. Because George Bailey gets to live a life of just giving himself away. I won't spoil it, but in one of the climactic scenes of the movie, he's having a rough time and says, "I wish I had never been born." And then he gets to have a certain vision and see what life would have been like if he had never existed. And in the Lord's providence, he sees that the Lord allowed him to bless so many people. And without him in their lives were drastically changed for the worse. That's the greatest fiction Christmas story ever. Let's look at the greatest nonfiction Christmas story of Christmas. It's not Christmas yet, but in preparation just a few days for Christmas Day, when we celebrate Christ's coming, we celebrate the Prince of Peace coming into the world. We celebrate when the angels announce to the shepherds the good news. In order to prepare for that, today let's look at the bad news. Not for the sake of being dark or woeful, but in order to see just how big of a deal the light of the world coming into the world is, today let's look at the darkness. The reality of just how bad the situation was. Just like George Bailey, he got to see what life would have been like if he was never born. Today, let's ask the question, what would life be like if Jesus was never born? How bad would it be if Jesus never came? In our second reading, we hear talk about how in the old days, the old covenant, they'd offer sin offerings, guilt offerings, because in their sins, they had to do something to atone for it. So instead of dying themselves, they'd offer animals, ox, sheep, goats, birds. They'd offer vegetables, crops, grain. Just, Lord, instead of us, take the best of what we have instead. And the book, letter of the Hebrews, we hear that wasn't enough. Sin offerings, sacrifices, I neither desired nor delighted in. That those offerings weren't enough to make up for their sins. And frankly, even just trying to be good, living the law morally, living the Ten Commandments, wasn't enough. Just being a good person, whatever that means, isn't enough. That it still had a deep lack. If that was it, we'd be in trouble. And then our Lord came. It said that, "But a body you prepared for me." And he came forth to do the will of the Father. That the Father gave Jesus a body. On Christmas Day, he became flesh, became human, and then in his humanity, chose to sacrifice himself and obey the Father and his will of the Father. And by that, and that alone, we are saved. But I'm getting ahead of myself. That's Christmas. Let's go back to the darkness, back to the bad news. If that didn't happen, if Jesus didn't come, than the sacrifice, the sin offerings, being moral, doing good deeds would not have been enough. If that happens, we wouldn't go anywhere close to enough. Every funeral we have here, and we've had a lot lately, they're sad, we grieve, but at the same time, every funeral is just so blessed. There's so much hope we have there. And there's just the sense of everyone there that we're here to pray, and we have, in our sadness, just hope for this person. But if Jesus didn't come, there is no hope. Jesus is the only hope possible. If Jesus didn't come, funerals could not be blessed. Funerals would just be absolutely dismal and sad. If Jesus didn't come, then death has the final word. And frankly, that's sugarcoating it. Because if Jesus didn't come, heaven isn't open for us. If he didn't come, hell is the only outcome for every single person in humanity. That is the darkness. That is the bad news. And that is the real situation we would find ourselves in. But in a few days, we will celebrate that Jesus came and changed all of that. If Jesus had never been born, there is no hope. If Jesus had never come, there is no heaven. If Jesus had never been born, there is no possibility to have purpose in life, because it's just moving lawn chairs on the Titanic while it's going down. If Jesus didn't come, there's no chance. And that's not all Jesus wants to do. Jesus did come, and that changes everything. We'll celebrate that in a few days, though. But if Jesus didn't come, he wants to do more for that as well. Jesus also wants to come into our lives today. Jesus came 2,000 years ago and changed everything, and he will come again at the end of the days in the final judgment. But he also wants to come now. The saints talk about the three comings: his first coming, Christmas; second coming, the final days; the third coming, when he comes into our lives every single day. For our Lord, it's not enough for him just to have come, fix the problem, and then leave again. Yes, Jesus wants to make sure we can not go to hell and go to heaven, absolutely. But he doesn't just want to give us fire insurance. He wants to break into our lives and come every day. And he does, in so many ways. First of all, in the sacraments. If Jesus didn't come to us in the Eucharist, that should break our hearts of thinking that possibility, what life would be like if we didn't have the Eucharist. If Jesus didn't come to us in baptism, in confession, we would be in so much trouble. Not just the sacraments, Jesus comes to us in every situation. In all of our struggles, we need him to come. Because if he doesn't, we try and solve it ourselves. It's not going to work. And it's just going to be dismal. That the Lord not only wants to fix our situation of not being able to get to heaven, he wants to come in and break into our lives and stay with us in relationship. That is Mary carrying the baby Jesus in her womb. Mary is barely pregnant. She hardly looks pregnant, let alone looking like she holds God within her womb. Mary comes and she brings God with her in a very hidden way. In the same way, Jesus comes now, but he likes to come hidden. Like St. Elizabeth and St. John the Baptist, they recognize God oh so hidden, just a tiny baby in Mary's womb. Let us ask for the gift of the eyes to see Jesus coming and breaking into our lives in so many different ways. In the sacraments, in so many situations in our lives, in our brothers and sisters, that Jesus did come and changed everything. And Jesus wants to come now. Let us ask our Lord, prepare our hearts to recognize just how bad the darkness is, that when the light of the world comes in a few days, we will see all the more clearly just how good it is and what our Lord has done for us. And let us ask him to give us the grace to see how he comes into our lives now, that we might welcome him on Christmas morn.